At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. If you missed it, coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play our conversation with RJ Choppy. He does mornings in Dallas. He covers the Cowboys. I want you guys to know, we don't celebrate days off on this show. No. The Chiefs got a game tomorrow. We at work. I also am going to be here for you guys on Black Friday. The Chiefs played. It's the day after the game. I'm looking at Black Friday like it's a Monday. I'm going to be here. So tomorrow, when you're out shopping, when you're riding around town, I want you to know that I'm going to be here tomorrow, 96.5 The Fan. Hopefully, you guys are here tomorrow as well after the Chiefs game. We'll play RJ Choppy here coming up in just a little bit. So let me tell you guys a couple of things that we have been talking about on today's show. So Campbell's, you know, the soup company, they did a Thanksgiving study. They call it their State of the Sides report. And according to Campbell's, they believe that the top five nationwide Thanksgiving sides are stuffing, dressing, whatever you call it, mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, and green bean casserole. Now, you guys know my position. I don't know what green bean casserole is. I've never had green bean casserole. I've never been to a place where green bean casserole has been offered. I also don't know why green beans have to be turned into a casserole. Get the green beans, clean the green beans, cook the green beans, season them, chop a little onions, chop a little bacon in there, throw it in there, serve. That's all you got to do. I don't know why we need the extra. I don't know why we got to try to make these things fancy. But you know what? Different strokes. It also says that 63% of Americans, they prefer eating the side dishes over the turkey, and that percentage is up almost 10% from 2024. I don't know why people feel so comfortable disrespecting the bird. Also in this, they said that nearly half of Americans would prefer a plate full of Thanksgiving sides with no turkey. Wait, hold on. No turkey? I mean, that's the quarterback. I mean, it's great to have a good running back. It's good to have a good wide receiver, a good tight end, a good defense. I mean, you need those things too, but you also need that leader at the helm. That's what the turkey is. That's where the turkey comes in. Your plate with no meat, it has no guidance. It has no direction. You need a leader. So whether that's a ham, if you're a ham person, get it. Maybe you're a fish person. Maybe you got a little catfish. Maybe you're not eating turkey. You're not eating meat. You're a pescatarian. Whatever it is. But just a plate of sides? No. You got a good shooting guard. You got a good big man. You don't have a point guard to get him the ball? Your team can't win a championship. You got a good offensive line. You got good wide receivers. But you got Nathan Peterman at QB. You have no leadership. You can't go anywhere. Who's eating a Thanksgiving plate with no meat, no protein, no bird? I don't know what's going on, man. But we're going to get to the bottom of it on this show. That's all I know. I don't know when it became cool to talk down on the turkey. This has turned into a thing of late, just talking down on the turkey. Turkey's held us down now for generations. A nice little butterball turkey. And now we're going to disrespect the bird? Not on this show.
It is sad to see. And all the turkey does is show up for work every year, same day, same time. You know it's going to be there. You know it's reliable. I gave the take earlier about how I have not mastered the turkey, and now my family, we outsource the turkey. We let someone else cook the turkey. We buy it. We don't have to worry about all the preparations. I'm not on this turkey hate. And multiple guests today have talked about how it's this normal thing now in these last few years to hate on the turkey. A Thanksgiving plate without the turkey, that's way too far. We've gone too far. We need to go back. Turkey is your day one. It's all reliable. You can't not have turkey tomorrow. Even if you prefer ham and you got both, I don't think you can not have turkey.
Someone on the text line is walking a fine line. Hey, CDOT, I want you to know that turkey is like having Daniel Jones at QB. It's fine, but it needs a lot of help. That's not what it is. You know what turkey is? Turkey is 2023 Brock Purdy. I'm not saying that it doesn't need Christian McCaffrey. I'm not saying that turkey doesn't need George Kittle and doesn't need Trent Williams and a good defense. But man, you put that turkey in a good situation. You put that turkey in the right system. Oh my goodness. MVP quality, Super Bowl potential. That's what I mean. Why are we disrespecting the bird? It's better than ham. I'd rather eat turkey tomorrow than have a big chicken. I eat chicken all the time. We're not doing that to the butterball. We're not doing that to the turkey, especially when there's so many different ways. A little smoked turkey, a little Cajun turkey. For those of you that have had the Cajun turkey from Popeyes, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and that infusion of flavors. Fantastic.
I say the turkey is on field. Related to the on field stuff, it's Brett Favre. It can be great. It can be terrible. It can turn you over a lot. It can score a lot of touchdowns. On the field, Brett Favre. I'm not saying all the other stuff.
I don't know if that's a good comparison right now.
No, I know. But like, boom or bust. If you're doing it well, if you're getting the Cajun turkey from Popeyes, if you're getting the smoked turkey from Smokehouse, or if someone in your family has just mastered it, it can be incredible. It can lead you to the promised land. It also can throw five interceptions in a game, like in Nathan Peterman. And Favre was that quarterback that could do both. He was the ultimate boom or bust. And then, like I mentioned before, at the end of his career, you know, every single year, Brett Favre's going to roll out a new team. He's going to run it back. Same with turkey. You know what you're going to get on Thanksgiving. You can't stray away from the old reliable. So, again, on the field stuff, I think turkey's Brett Favre.
Someone on the text line said, CDOT, turkey is Ryan Leaf. Let's move on. Let's get back to the sports. Let's get back to the football. I'm not going to let you guys upset me. I'm in a great mood. I hope that you guys are in a great mood. Nathan's here. We've been hanging out. We've been having a good time. We've been sharing laughs. We've been telling stories. And now we're going to compare turkey to Ryan Leaf. Let's move on. All right. Let me just shut down the text line for a little bit. Let me just clear my mind. Let's move forward. I want to read you guys this. There have only been two Thanksgiving Day turkey games that have done more than 40 million viewers. The first one was in 2021. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. It makes a lot of sense. It was post-COVID. A lot of people were just stationary during this time. Also important to note that Nielsen changed its rating system in 2020. So change in ratings, people are much more stationary than they've been. There was a time where Raiders Cowboys on Thanksgiving was the most watched regular season game ever. Before then, the most watched regular season game was Dolphins and Cowboys back in 1993. For those of you that don't remember that game, that's the Leon Lett game, which is one of the iconic regular season games in the history of the league. After that, the next season in 2022, Giants-Cowboys, 42.06 million people tuned in for the Giants and the Cowboys game. I believe we have a chance of seeing a regular season NFL game hit 50 million viewers. I think this game is probably going to average at around 44 to 46 million viewers. And I also think if this game is close in the fourth quarter, I think we are talking about a game that peaks at 50 to 51 million people. It is the perfect intersection of everything. It's the two biggest brands in the National Football League. The Cowboys, they are the most popular team in American sports. I know the argument's going to be, well, they don't win. There's a reason that ESPN's business model is attached to the Cowboys in the way that it is. And debate shows have latched on to discussing the Cowboys. They have the largest fan base of anybody. So you have that and all of their characters, Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens, Jerry Jones, the history, Texas Stadium. You have all of those things on one side. In the opposite corner, you have the Kansas City Chiefs and all of their star power with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift should be there and Andy Reid and the championships and the Super Bowl and the dynasty of now and the dynasty of the 90s. I mean, there are so many storylines in this game. We haven't even talked about Patrick Mahomes going home. Patrick Mahomes has done a lot of amazing things in his NFL career. He's never played a game in Dallas. He's playing a game in Dallas. You already know. CBS, Fox, I can't remember which one is broadcasting the game. I think it's CBS. They already have a 1997 picture of Patrick Mahomes in a Cowboys uniform. You already know that they got this. They got him saying that he wants to be Troy Aikman in the backyard and throwing the football around. You know that they have pulled this out of the archive. I mean, this is a story that absolutely writes itself. You're telling me America's not tuning in if this is a close game in the fourth quarter and Patrick Mahomes has the chance to take his team down the field and score on Thanksgiving at Texas Stadium as a kid that grew up in Texas? Or Dak Prescott, who is one of the more polarizing quarterbacks of the last 10 years, has a chance to go down the field and potentially end the run for the Kansas City Chiefs? I think we are talking about some massive, massive numbers. This was a big joker that the NFL had in their back pocket at any point they wanted to use this season. You know, every 4 years, these two teams play each other. And if you're telling me that the Chiefs have to go to Dallas, it's their turn in the rotation, you could have played this whenever. This could have been the first Sunday Night Football game of the year. This could have been at any point in the season, Chiefs and Cowboys was going to work. And they saved this for the absolute perfect time. They're going for a record. And we know this enough about the NFL. In these situations, they usually don't miss. They shoot a high percentage on this. They are going into this with the expectation that they are coming to shatter records in this thing. And I think they got a really, really good chance if this game plays the way that I think it can. Really emotional game for both teams. Two teams that won an emotional game last week. Two teams that equally need this game that is going to have a playoff-like feel for both of these teams. The Chiefs don't have to win this game, but it gives them a breathing room that the Chiefs just haven't had really at any point this season. And it changes the math for Kansas City. If they're 7-5 going into December, they have a little bit of wiggle room and leeway. They don't have to go undefeated the rest of the way to make the postseason, in my opinion, if they win this game. But if they lose this game and they're 6-6 heading into the final five games of the year, I'm sorry, they have to go undefeated down the stretch. And I don't know, based on how they've played so inconsistent and up and down and 500 football for the first 13 weeks of the season, I don't know how in good faith you can now predict them to win five games in a row, in which you'd have to beat the Broncos, you'd have to beat the Chargers, you'd have to beat the Houston Texans. I don't think you go 3-0 in those games if you're a 500 team heading into week 14 of the NFL season is what we'd be talking about. So this is a massive swing game. This is a massive statement game. And for both of these teams, for the Chiefs, it doesn't eliminate you, but it does for the Cowboys. The Cowboys, you can't be under 500 heading into December and tell me you got a realistic path for the postseason. You don't. Now, you can play spoiler, but you do not have a realistic path for the postseason. You did one of the hard things last week against Philadelphia. You got a really difficult thing this week at home against Kansas City, and you got to go on the road next week to play Detroit, a game you are absolutely going to need in the wild card picture if you are the Cowboys. You cannot undersell how important this game is potentially for each side. All right, Nathan, let's shout out Baker University, and we'll get to a toss-up question.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Yeah, that's right, Carrington. The hits are brought to you by Baker University. Make your next era orange at Baker University. Baker's the first university in Kansas and ranked number one in return on investment among private universities in Kansas. Baker University, forever in our orange era. Yeah, we've already discussed the massive viewership numbers, the massive playoff implications.
I got a toss-up question for you. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, it's going
to
be your toss-up question.
I got a toss-up. My bad. I'm sorry to cut you off there. This is my toss-up question. Which do you think is the greater impact for the Chiefs in this game? Do you think it is them having Isaiah Pacheco and him coming back, or do you think it is them not having Trey Smith, who is dealing with, he has a high ankle sprain and a low ankle sprain? I don't know if you can just have a mid ankle sprain, but if you could, he would have that. He would have that. What do you think is the bigger impact? Do you think it is having Isaiah Pacheco and getting him to return, or not having Trey Smith for this game?
I think it's not having Trey Smith. Kareem Hunt's going to tell you it's Isaiah Pacheco coming back, being able to take some of the load off of him. Not having Trey Smith is going to be so important, in my opinion, in pass protection. Caliendo's going to need help from Creed Humphrey because there are two absolute demons on the interior of that offensive line. I know Kenny Clark's a little bit older, but Quinnen Williams is wrecking defenses right now, which is going to leave Kenny Clark one-on-one on an island with Kingsley. My concern is that takes away Mahomes' ability to slide up in the pocket and use his legs on third down. So give me Trey Smith missing this game as the bigger impact.
I really think that the Chiefs need Isaiah Pacheco for this one. The Chiefs have shown you, at least last week, they've shown you their reliance on Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt has been the best running back for the Chiefs now for a year and a half, since basically last September. He has been the best running back for this team. It feels like he's a pitcher that threw a lot of pitches in his last game, but now it's game seven and you're wondering what his availability going to be for this one. Like, he's available. You're willing to throw him out there, but you're not giving Kareem Hunt 19 carries in this game. He borderline malpractice to do that to Kareem Hunt in this game. But I do think they'll give him his normal 11 or 12. And the question is going to be, do they give Isaiah Pacheco his usual 11 or 12? That is the formula to me that Kansas City needs in this game. We've gone through the numbers. They didn't run it super effectively against the Colts, but they stayed with it. They stayed diligent. I think this game is going to be a similar kind of rock fight. I find it hard to believe that either one of these teams are going to run away from each other. I just think they're very, very even. And I think their strengths align and their weaknesses also align. You're also going to have to kind of keep up with the Cowboys offense. I know this defense has played really well. This defense doesn't get pressure on the other team's quarterback. This defense also doesn't take the ball away. You'd have to think that Dallas is scoring a little bit in this game or moving the ball a little bit in this game. So you're probably not winning this game 21-17. This is maybe play 27-24, maybe a 31-27 kind of game. Man, controlling the tempo, controlling the style of fight, and being able to do that with the run game, I think is really important. I think it's a massive deal that Isaiah Pacheco is coming back for this game. But I will tell you guys this, and we went through these numbers earlier. I'm a little bit worried about Quinnen Williams in this game. So to your point about not having Trey Smith in this game, I mean, Quinnen Williams has been incredible these last couple of weeks. He's number one in Pro Football Focus rating. He has the most pressures, 15 pressures in the last 2 weeks. He also has the pass rush win rate percentage. I mean, 27%. He has been incredible at getting after the other team's quarterback. And we've seen this before. How do you break down Kansas City's offense? It's you get Mahomes losing his fundamentals. He starts running around, they get away from the run, and one player, I think, can almost single-handedly alter what the Chiefs' offensive game plan is. There's only one player like that to me on the Cowboys. It's the addition of Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, and I just think it's the ripple effect more than anything as well of what it's going to do the rest of that offensive line. I wouldn't trust any of those other guys to wreck a game in the way Quinnen Williams could do that. So it's so interesting how they moved on from Micah Parsons, and you thought the Cowboys were a team that would attack you from the edge, and they've completely just inverted their defensive line in a matter of months. And now I'm really worried about the interior of that line. Kenny Clark, for me, is a guy like, I think Cam Hayward is another one. I don't know if it's because they play in like cold weather cities. I don't know if it's because they're on the interior of the defensive line. They go so under the radar. And so it's not just Quinnen Williams for me. It's also his running mate on the interior of that line there. I think that's probably the matchup to watch if you're asking me, outside of maybe Jalen Watson and a wide receiver tomorrow.
I was just about to mention Jalen Watson. I wrote his name down. We haven't talked nearly enough about him today, so let's remedy that right now. I think Jalen Watson has a chance to make himself a lot of money in this game. A lot of money. Jalen Watson is a free agent. And rest in peace to our dear friend Therese Paylor, but he used to say that the contract year is undefeated. Jalen Watson, at his age of 27, is putting together a phenomenal last season, potentially, in Kansas City. For a guy who is a seventh-round draft pick and was the 243rd pick, this is a guy who has not made great NFL money. He's made great money. He has not made great NFL money. Everybody knows if you're Jalen Watson, you got one chance to cash out. You don't get two of these kind of contracts if you're him. At 27 and you play corner, you get one of these contracts. And if Jalen Watson goes out there on Thanksgiving with the world watching, with all of NFL watching, and you're going up against CeeDee Lamb, you're going up against George Pickens, and you hold your own, he ain't coming back to Kansas City on a team-friendly kind of deal. It's going to be what happened with Charvarius Ward. It's going to be what happened with L'Jarius Sneed. Hey, thank you for everything that you have done, but you have put yourself outside of our price range. We wish you nothing but the luck, and you want to see guys like that get paid. And now you got to start the process all over again. Jalen Watson, who has put together a very, very good season. He's been very, very good. This has been a career year, and it's not really been close so far from him. In a game like this, man, you go out there, you play well up against who people perceive to be this season the best 1-2 punch, and you've been doing this on a consistent game-in, game-out basis. You've stayed healthy this year. You've played at a high level. Man, Jalen Watson is looking at a three-year, $33 million deal and getting $21 million of it guaranteed. And for a guy who was the 243rd pick, that is the definition of the football dream.
It is, and there's it's him and one other guy that are going to be in this spot this offseason for the Chiefs. In that 2022 draft, obviously, Karlaftis has his second contract, and we'd all be stunned if McDuffie did not get his second contract. A lot of the other guys were fine with them walking this offseason, the guy like Pacheco or Joshua Williams. It's Watson and it's Leo Chenal, and Watson's price tag due to position is going to be higher. And also, based on the matchup the Cowboys present, I'm with you, stands to make himself a lot more money in this one game tomorrow. But also, when we look at free agents, you know, we always say that there's like this allure of Kansas City because they want to come here and they want to win. Not for guys like Watson and Chenal. They've played in three Super Bowls in as many years. They're hopefully going to have a fourth deep playoff run. They've won two rings. They've done their winning. They've made the league. And it's literally who pays me the most money if I'm Jalen Watson. So if the Chiefs are offering me 2 for $20, that's great. I don't care if 3 for $30 comes from New Orleans. I don't care if it comes from Arizona. I'm taking every penny I can get this offseason.
100%. Jalen Watson is going to the highest bidder this offseason. The highest bidder. Now, I mean, if the Chiefs make a comparable offer, but I mean, if a team is willing to offer more years, more guaranteed money, Jalen Watson is taking that money, and he absolutely should.
He's a Tennessee Titan. And great for him.
Last thing here, the Chiefs have not really played well away from Arrowhead. They really only played well, I would say, one half of football away from Arrowhead this year. It was the second half against the Giants. They didn't play well against the Chargers. And sleptwalk basically through the first half of that game. It was tied 6-6 at halftime of the Giants game. You remember, it was bad. It was really bad, the first half of the Giants game. They lost the Jaguars game. They lost on the road against Buffalo. They lost on the road against Denver. They have one more road test left. The Titans are not a road test. The Raiders are not a road test. They're road games. They are not road tests. This is a road test. The Chiefs are going to have a bunch of road tests in January. They're probably not playing a home game. So if the Chiefs want to go to the playoffs, more than likely, they're going to have to overcome one of the things that they have struggled with so far this season. And it is putting together a complete 60 minutes away from Arrowhead. That's what they got to do. Yes, I know they did this a couple of years ago when they went to Buffalo and Baltimore. Yes, you're right. They also won their division back then. They also were a better team in that year than they were in this year. So what they did back then, I don't care about that in the basis of this conversation. This team wants to show us that they're a postseason team. Man, that starts with you got to go on the road and you got to win a game like this. And it changes your margin of error. This team shows us they need a little bit of margin for error. And them going into the final month of the season with none of it, that is not the ideal for anybody. They got to figure out a way to win this game on Sunday. Thursday. Coming up on the other side, we are going to head to Dallas and be joined by RJ Choppy. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Earlier today, we were joined by RJ Choppy, who does mornings in Dallas. We started our conversation with, I would say that Kansas City is on the fence about them playing on Thanksgiving. I get it. People love their holidays. People love that time with their family. Dallas does this every year. How do Cowboys fans feel about this?
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear the complaint. It's every year. I started working in radio here in 2002, and it's been not a normal Thanksgiving at all. Ever since I started doing the job, so it's old hat. It gets tiring. We love it, and we also hate it sometimes because my mother is completely oblivious to anything that happens in the world, and she decided that we're having Thanksgiving dinner at like 5 o'clock tomorrow. So that's what we'll be doing at 5 o'clock. In the middle of the game.
Why are you guys eating so late in the day? You guys can't do this at one?
Dude, I don't know. I don't even know. She's not even making turkey this year. I don't even know if I'm going to go at this point. I don't even know who she is. I'm a disowner.
Right now, we're joined by RJ Choppy. I do want to talk some football with you. I've asked all of our guests this week, give me your controversial Thanksgiving food opinion. Mine is, I don't want anything to do with sweet potatoes. Please keep them off my plate. I'm also not sure if green bean casserole is a real thing. I've never been to a home in which green bean casserole was offered as a dish. I've never seen it before. I've only heard that people eat it before. What's your controversial Thanksgiving take?
I didn't know it was controversial until I was told it was controversial, but my controversial one is that mac and cheese is not a Thanksgiving item. That is my controversial one, I guess. I didn't know that was a thing. I grew up in the Northeast, and that was not a thing up there, I guess, for Thanksgiving. But somehow fried ravioli was. So I think fried ravioli is a Thanksgiving meal, but not mac and cheese.
I got to come over to you guys' house if you're offering fried ravioli. I've never had that before. I'm trying to see what that's like on Thanksgiving.
It's pretty awesome. It's like an appetizer. Got to have it, though. It's a must.
All right, so let's, I guess, start with this. What's been the feeling? What's been the tone in Dallas this week after Sunday's exciting win? I'll tell you how it's been here in Kansas City. Man, they were on the mat. They were down. They just had a fumble in the fourth quarter, and a lot of people, as certainly in my Twitter mentions, were getting ready for the NFL draft at that point. And the Chiefs pulled one out of the fire. They are now 6-5 coming into it. And there is a little bit of swagger that's coming back, and that swagger will be multiplied tenfold if they go on the road in a short week to Dallas and win this game. What's been the feeling like in Dallas after the win against the Eagles?
Well, a lot of excitement. You know, I was not sure how to expect, how to gauge what the crowd was going to be like on Monday morning because, you know, for three quarters of that Eagles game, everyone on social media was dog cussing this team. Everyone. And they pulled the game out, and obviously you're elated that they won the game, but also, like, you know, how are you going to react? Because people like to react, and they like to style point wins, right? Elation. I mean, people were just basically excited. You beat the Eagles, you beat the Eagles. You don't really care how you do it, how long it takes you to come back. You just beat the Eagles, and that's the most important part.
Let's talk about the quarterback in Dak Prescott. He's been one of the more polarizing players in the NFL, I would say, over the last 5 years. I feel like a lot of that has kind of calmed down. It feels like, at least from the outside, a lot of people acknowledge that Dak is a good quarterback, and I feel like much more of the criticism has kind of been levied toward the front office, Jerry Jones, and the team that they've put around him. But I remember when there was a you can't pay Dak Prescott argument, but as time has kind of progressed a bit, I think people acknowledge, yes, that was a good contract. contract, it was worth it to pay Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think that the way people look at it now is that, yes, he was or he is a good quarterback. He's not elite. All right, he's not an elite quarterback. We know that. Do you need elite to win? Yes, kind of. I mean, it helps. You know, there's a reason why guys like Dak Prescott and Jared Goff, who's made a Super Bowl and made another NFC Championship game, but they haven't won the Super Bowl, because they're on that really good, borderline great, but not elite. And I think you need elite. Dak has done well, and he's gotten to that age where he has all the answers to the test. He knows exactly what's coming. You can't really trick him the way you used to be able to. He still has his weaknesses. He still has his flaws, like they all do. Do they regret the contract? I don't think so. If they extend him, I think they will come to regret it.
What do you think happens long-term with George Pickens?
He'll be here. Long-term meaning next year he'll be there. They're going to tag him at minimum. If they sign him long-term, that's a different story. I think they should. I would love to sign him long-term. What do you do? That you become the Bengals. You become a team that's got a high-priced quarterback, two high-priced wide receivers. They got $60 million tied up in their defensive tackles right now that are on the field. That's a lot of money in the interior of the defensive line. I think they're going to try to get him signed long-term. That would be my guess. Now, what the number comes in at, now you got yourself a problem, because if he comes in and he starts, the way that it is with the contracts, that everybody leapfrogs, you're going to pay him more than CeeDee Lamb at $35 million? How's that dynamic going to work in the locker room?
I would be very, very leery. I don't think anybody, and I can't speak for you, I don't believe you and I question George Pickens' ability at all. He is one of the 10 best receivers, top 15 receivers in the National Football League. Man, I got a lot of questions about giving him $60 to $65 million guaranteed. That feels like a contract that could instantly come back to bite you because his attitude and effort changes.
Oh, there's no doubt it could. I mean, there's a risk because this is a walk year, right? It's a contract year, so there's a risk. And maybe that's why they tag him next year and give him that extra, kind of prove it year. But then you run the risk of an upset George Pickens, because – he hasn't been a top 10 receiver this year. He's been a top 3 receiver this year, top 5, he's the best receiver on this team right now. And, I've got such a man crush on George Pickens. I'm ready to tell CD to go take a hike, give my 2-1s for him and let's go. But I know realistically, you're right. Like, George is a wild card. We don't know what George is going to be like when he's got all that money.
Right now, we're talking to RJ Choppy here for a couple of more minutes. Let's talk about the defensive side. Let's talk about the trade to go get Quinnen Williams. I feel like a lot of outsiders had a lot of questions about that trade and what it meant. I feel like it has now reminded people over the last couple of weeks with how he's played, man, Quinnen Williams is one of the best defensive players in the league, and when you got a chance to go get one of those guys, you go get him. I just think it looks weird in the context of they already had one of the best defensive players in the league, and they trade him to the Packers.
Yeah, it's a little weird when you look at it that way. He's been tremendous. He has kind of stepped in, and Aaron Whitecotton is the defensive line coach. He was his defensive line coach with the Jets when he had his best year. So that was the hope that they were going to mesh together well. I was not like thrilled with the deal. I was ready to kind of blow this thing up and take my four picks, my four first rounders over the next 2 years, trade back, on one or two of them, get up another first rounder and let's really try to make this thing work and reset this roster. But here we are now. And you can't really argue with the results they've gotten on the field since they made the trade. The defense has been much better. It was tremendous in the second half, really the last 8 drives against Philadelphia. So Williams has been fantastic since he's come over here. And yeah, we forget because, his last year with the Jets wasn't his best. How much of that, though, was the Jets?
I was just going to ask you, do you think that the defensive turnaround has been tied to Quinnen Williams? I mean, their defense was atrocious the first month and a half of a season. It is certainly much more formidable, which you're going to need going up against Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and the weapons that they have. It feels like their defense has a fighting chance on Thursday.
Yeah, it's gotten better. How much of it is Quinnen versus how much of it is time on task, right? Where they've just new system, new language, and they had to kind of get the time on task to be able to figure out exactly what they were doing. The same thing happened last year with Mike Zimmer. You know, around middle of the season, they started to pick it up and get a little bit better. And around the same time that they got Williams this year, they started to pick it up and be a little bit better. So, yeah, you've got to factor that in and assume that most of it is Quinnen, but also, especially with the secondary, just the fact that they've kind of, you know, gone through the bye week and had their opportunity to reset and figure out what was gone wrong. You know, this happened a couple of years ago in their last 12-5 season. You know, McCarthy took over the offense, and they were not good early on. They would go to the bye week, they reset everything, and they took off offensively.
RJ, this is a really important game for both sides. This is a really difficult game for both sides. A really emotional win against a top five team on Sunday for both of these teams. I would argue it's a little bit tougher for Kansas City that they are the road team in this one. They only had one practice day, which was Tuesday. You got to travel on Wednesday. You got to go there. I'm imagining all the pageantry that comes with playing on the road on Thanksgiving in Dallas. This is a really difficult game for both sides that can drastically change the course of the season for both teams.
For sure. I mean, both teams are kind of in the same predicament, right? I mean, they don't have a whole lot of losses they can buy themselves. Now for them, each of them, it's fortunately an out of conference game. So it doesn't hurt you in the first tiebreaker, but I mean, both teams really need this one. There's no doubt. And you know, with in the NFC or with, you know, the Cowboys already don't have the tiebreaker with a slew of teams, and same for the Chiefs, right? I mean, they don't have the tiebreaker with Jacksonville right now. They're a team that's ahead of them in the standings, and you gotta keep an eye on that. You don't want to have you'll fall too far behind, because every game you fall behind, you got to add an extra half game. It's a brutal matchup for both teams. They've got to have this.
Last thing here, we always ask our guests this: give me your Chiefs win scenario. Give me your Cowboys win scenario.
Well, if the Chiefs have got to put up points, they've got to score. I would guess around 27 points. That's my guess. I think the Cowboys offense, especially at home, you can put up 27. The Cowboys put up 27 at home almost any time they play. That's just the number that they've got to get to. I think Kansas City's got to get to that number if they're going to win the football game. And for the Cowboys, it's getting off the field on third down. That's simple. Patrick Mahomes on third down, running around, doing Patrick Mahomes things, which, you know, he obviously is one of the greatest players we've ever seen. I don't understand how this team is not winning more games this year than they have, than they previously had. But that is the number one thing for the Cowboys. Just get off the field on third down.
That is RJ Choppy joining us on the show today. He does fantastic work in Dallas. He does mornings with Sean Sharif. RJ, man, it's always great to talk football with you, man. I always appreciate your time, man. Thanks for popping on today.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Coming up on the other side, we're going to go through FanDuel. I'm going to give you a touchdown prediction for all three of the games. We'll do that. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. Let's go through some of the anytime touchdown props for tomorrow. Jahmyr Gibbs, Josh Jacobs, they're the only two players who you got to pay a little bit of juice on in the first game of the day. Amon-Ra St. Brown's at plus 105, basically even money. David Montgomery at plus 135. Romeo Doubs, then going on from there. If you had to make one bet, Nathan, in tomorrow's Packers and Lions game, what would your touchdown bet be?
It's David Montgomery. I'm getting him at plus 185. That is my first, second, and last touchdown bet when I'm watching the Lions. David Montgomery in a goal line situation.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you just kind of always take like a random flyer when it comes to a Green Bay wide receiver. They're like the Chiefs, at least in the, you can't really pinpoint every week who the receiving touchdown is going to be. You think somebody's going to get it. You just don't know who it's going to be. I'm going to say getting Christian Watson at 2-1 feels like good odds to me. Like if you're going to roll the dice and try to get you one, I'll take Christian Watson at 2-1 odds if you want me to just throw down something when it comes to a touchdown bet. I think it's really, really hard to pass on Kansas City if you're going to get Kareem Hunt plus money. It's if there's anything you can guarantee with the Chiefs is they are going to give him a red zone touch scoring opportunity. You get that every single week. So maybe he doesn't end up scoring a touchdown, but at plus money to score, just really, really hard, I think, to kind of move away from that. I mean, if you want to sprinkle in something on Isaiah Pacheco, he's 2.5 to 1. Burchard Smith is 5.5 to 1. I mean, maybe you want to take one of those kind of players, but I mean, you got to kind of go with what you know, I think, when it comes to the Chiefs. Rashee Rice makes a lot of sense. He's number one on the board. You can kind of go from there. I mean, if you're going to tell me who's more likely to score a touchdown, Kareem Hunt or Travis Kelce, it's Kareem Hunt, and it's not even close, and they're both at plus 120.
It is Kareem Hunt. He's going to get two or three opportunities inside the five.
Every game.
Every time. Just to play contrarian, I will take Jake Ferguson at plus 220. Chiefs can't cover tight ends. Cowboys have a lot of weapons. Give me Jake Ferguson.
I like that one a lot. In the night game, I'd probably take the tight end. I'd probably take Ishivas at plus 280.
That's who I've got written down here.
Yeah, that's who I would probably take. That just makes a lot of sense to me. You know, I get it with Jamar Chase. He's going to get a lot of attention. The tight end in the middle of the field, it feels like that's a smart play. You're going to give me a 3-to-1 odds on him to catch a receiving touchdown. I think he's a lot more viable now with Joe Burrow. I'll take Ishivas to score a touchdown, plus 280.
He's getting more run, too, because I had it written down on plus 300 earlier. So, yeah, with no T. Higgins, I think Jamar Chase is getting 10, 12 looks. But in the red zone, give me this Ishivas.
For sure. Is there anything you got your eye on when it comes to Black Friday? This is actually the time I used to like buy video games that I wanted to get throughout the course of the season when they were 60 or 70. Now you can pick them up at like $20. So I'll end up getting like 3 or 4 games and I'm spending like $75. And I'm like, these games will last me for a year.
We're normally probably not those Black Friday people, but I'm in the market for a second TV for the living room right now. So that's going to be this weekend's purchase for me.
All right. Well, if you need some help finding the TV, I'm always good at locating the deals.
Okay.
Nathan, great stuff today, man. Really appreciate you. Really appreciate you guys making me a part of your Thanksgiving Eve. Have fun tonight. Have fun tomorrow. I'll be back with you guys on Black Friday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.